Well, glory be to God. Welcome, 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 everybody, to Christian Growth Center, the Exploding Word and Worship Center in New River Valley. We believe the Word can explode in your heart, in your life, and change your life. Remember, we say it all the time, one word from God can change your life forever. You can be sitting in here for the next maybe hour, maybe not, and only hear one word, and you take that one word to heart. And then James tells us what? Not only be a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word, right? You take that word to heart, you hear it, and then you do it. You perform it as instructed by the Lord, and it'll change your life. We believe that. I believe that. And I want to encourage you in that today and every day of your life. Continually seek the Lord. Continually seek the Lord and all that He has for you. Continually. Regularly, on a daily basis, seek. Amen? Amen? All right. Well, glory to God. I know how many, went to see Brother Savelle last Wednesday. Nikki and I went. We saw Saul and Angie there. We saw Judy Smith there. If I missed anyone else, I apologize. But it was a good crowd. He had his chariots of light there. There's a lot of bikers out there. It was kind of cool to see all them in their leather vests and all their badges and stuff. But as you know, I just want to kind of give you a little synopsis of what Brother Jerry shared, because I believe that he's been here. Y'all know that if you've watched him or seen him or heard him here, Brother Savelle is an encourager. When he shares the word, he brings life with him, I believe. I don't know that he's a teacher per se, but he brings encouragement. And I don't know that he's an evangelist per se, but he brings encouragement, doesn't he? I mean, y'all that know him. And he did that. He brought encouragement. And, you know, as usual, he always has a word for the next year. And he usually gets that. And he'll say September through November sometime. And so what he shared, and some of y'all probably already know this, have heard it if you watch him or keep up with him. But his word for 2020 was this. And I think it's verbatim, but I'm not sure. This is what I wrote down. It said, 2020, open new doors, new doors will be open, something like that, with supernatural increase beyond what you have experienced before. And he shared some stories about some increase that he's walking in now. Again, he brings that encouragement to you, you know, and he's shared some stories but open new doors with supernatural increase. And that's good right there, right? But he said, beyond what you have experienced before. And it took me right back. And I've shared this with y'all. I don't know, it's been a while. But it took me right back to that day that I was standing in my horse pasture at my barn, messing around with my horse. And he shared a story that was kind of, you know, different. And it took me right back to that moment when I saw someone in a suit, patent leather shoes, walking through my cow pasture. The grass was a little high. Walking through and dodging the horse duty. Walking out to me, because we live right beside a Kroger. And he's walking out there I'm like, what is this guy lost? What is he doing? And came up to me, long story short, they wanted to buy a piece of our land. We had 11 acres. And he wanted a piece of it right beside the Kroger. They were going to put a fuel station in there. And long story short, what they ended up doing is paying us enough to pay off our entire debt. House, cars, credit cards, whatever we had. And the key, or what I sometimes don't share, is Nikki and I had been praying and believing for supernatural debt cancellation for at least 2 or 3 years prior to that. Brother Jerry was sharing something similar to that effect, but it took me right back to that moment. And when he said this, 2020 is going to open new doors with supernatural increase beyond what you had experienced before. I took that, man. I said, look, I've experienced supernatural debt cancellation in the past. I want to experience something above and beyond. And this was my thought. Okay, supernatural debt cancellation, but I want to be instrumental in canceling someone else's debt. That would be above and beyond for me. Amen? That would be above and beyond for me. So that's where my faith is. He's put that out there, and I'm taking hold of it, and I'm believing God for it, because I believe it's right, I believe it's biblical, and I'm going for it. So I want to encourage you all, you know, be encouraged in it. And I'm not, you know, I'm talking about something financial here, but it can be anything: relationship, physical need, mental or emotional stability. New doors are going to be open with supernatural increase above and beyond what you have experienced before. So I pray that you take that for yourself. And I'm taking it. And I have high expectations for 2020. I do. High expectations for 2020. But you got to take it for yourself. I can't rely on Jerry Savelle's faith. You can't rely on my faith. You got to have faith for yourself in these things. Amen? Amen. All right. So he shared a couple other things just to recap here. He gave an interesting definition of the word blessed. How many in here believe they're blessed and highly favored? The word says you are blessed and highly favored of the Lord. Amen. His definition of blessed, and he went through all the, and I'm not going to take the time to go through all the background of it, but empowered to prosper was the definition he gave of blessed. If you are blessed of the Lord, if you are blessed and highly favored, you believe that, you are empowered to prosper. Empowered to prosper. We are empowered by God to prosper. And I looked up that word empowered, and I looked it up first in the original Noah Webster Dictionary, 1828, and he said it's authorized, having legal or moral right. Authorized, having legal or moral right. And then I looked it up in the recent Merriam-Webster dictionary. It says, having the knowledge, confidence, means, or ability to do things or make decisions for oneself. And so I kind of combine those, and I'm going to give you the Todd definition of empowered. I said, God has authorized us to gain knowledge, get confidence, seek the means or resources that give us the ability to make decisions in our life that will prosper us in a legal and moral way. That's a mouthful, isn't it? Let me read it again. God has authorized us, you and me, to gain knowledge, get confidence, seek the means or resources that give us the ability to make decisions in our life that will prosper us in a legal and moral way. What is it? It says that God has given us the ability to gain wealth, right? In the word, God has given us He gives us the ability, but there's something that we have to do, right? God is not your personal genie in the bottle. You know, oh, I want a bigger house. Poof, there it is. No, it doesn't work like. I need healing in my body. Poof. I'm going somewhere. He's not your personal genie. It doesn't work like that. See, you have to have faith for these things. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Amen? He has empowered us with everything we have need of to prosper in every area of our life. Every area of our life. Spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, soul, and body. But it is up to us to properly appropriate that. And we do that by obeying His truth that is set forth in these pages. How many know that this is the truth? How many know that this is Jesus? How many know that this is the Word? And when we read it and we obey it, when we hear it and we do it, that empowers us to prosper in every area of our life. Amen? An example of this is, simple example, seed time and harvest. Seed time and harvest. As long as the earth remains, there's going to be seed time and harvest. Amen? Most of us want to harvest, but we don't want to plant the seed. How many have been expecting for great things? Now, I'll go back to my example of being of our debt being paid off. For 2 or 3 years, we had been planting seeds of faith with our words, believing for supernatural debt cancellation. We didn't just wake up one morning and this guy in a three-piece suit comes stomping through. That's how it happened, but it didn't happen like that. We had been planting seeds of faith for years for that, and it came to fruition. Most want to harvest but unwilling to plant a seed. It's like a farmer. He can plow up and till the ground, even fertilize it and water it. But if he doesn't put the seed in the ground, he's not going to get the harvest. Seed time and harvest. Amen? You need a financial breakthrough? Plant your financial seed. You need a friend in your life? What does the Bible say? Show yourself friendly. Plant that seed. How many need more friends in their life? How many need your existing friends to be better friends? Well, guess what? You need the better friend first. Plant that seed. Plant that seed of friendship. You need healing physically or mentally? Well, now that's a little tougher, isn't it? How do we plant a seed of healing? How do we plant a seed of healing? Well, you can do it with your faith, for one, with your words, right? Speaking what the word says, I am the healed. I am the healed of the Lord. He sent his word and healed them. By the stripes of Jesus that he bore on his back before he went to the cross, even, he paid for my healing with his wounds. I believe that this is one area in physical or mental healing where someone else can actually plant a seed in your life. What do I mean by that? Well, what does the word say about laying on of hands? If someone comes up to you and lays their hands on you and prays for you for your healing, they're planting seed in your life, in your heart. Amen? So let's look at this. Let's look at this in the context that we've been talking about. You know, we were talking about we're a three-part being, right? We all understand that. Just let's review that real quick. If God is a triune being, we all understand God is the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I shared in Genesis where he created mankind in his image. So if we're created in his image, we're a three-part being as well, just as he is. Amen. We're spirit, soul, and body. Is everybody, we're clear on that? Well, turn to 1 Thessalonians. And I shared this last time, chapter 5, verse 23. Let's just get our foundation here real quick again. Understanding that we are a three-part being. Body, soul, and spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 23 says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." Holy. So this is you, holy. Okay? This is not one part. This is you, holy. "And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Spirit, soul, body. Right? We are a three-part being, spirit, soul, body. Now the part, we shared this, the part that's made righteous is our spirit man, right? As soon as you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are instantly made righteous before God. He sees you pure before him. It's us that have the problem seeing ourselves pure. We have the problem seeing ourselves pure, but God doesn't have a problem with it because He looks through the blood of His Son, Jesus, and sees us pure, pure, pure. Amen? So what about our soul and body? What about the other two parts? What happens to them? In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul." You became a living soul. You are a spirit. You have a soul. And you live in this body. Amen? God created a body for us from the dust of the ground. And when we die, where does it go? It goes right back into the ground, that dust of this body. You know, I mean, if you've ever been to a funeral, that's, you know, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. It returns. This body returns to the ground as dust and ashes. And that's why you shouldn't be concerned, I would say, is a good word, about cremation. Let's just go there for a minute. I know a lot of people don't agree with that. They don't believe in it. They think you should be planted 6 feet under with your body intact. But the word's very clear. Dust goes back to dust. What happens to that body if it lays there for 100 years? It's going to decay. You know, I'm sorry. It will anyways. So I don't know. Maybe someone has been... I wasn't intending to share that. Maybe someone's been struggling with that in here about cremation. Maybe you've had a parent or a family member that has wanted to do that or is wishing to do that, or and you're not in agreement, or vice versa. Someone in your family's not in agreement with your wishes. I don't know. But let me encourage you. It's okay. It's okay. If God can raise up a dead body and bring life back to it, don't you think He can? I mean, He did it once. He created Adam from the dust of the earth. Don't you think He can recreate you from the dust? Okay? All right. We're going to leave that one alone. Be encouraged in it, though. So he created a body for us. And then He breathed life into us. And we became a living soul. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes 12. Starting verse 6, says, "Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." So I know we're retreading? They don't retread tires anymore. What am I thinking? We're replowing some ground. We're sharing some things we shared last week. I just wanted to lay this foundation again. So He breathed life into us. We became a soul. And just like your fingerprint. How many know that if you give your fingerprint to the law agencies, we could go through this room. We could go through Christiansburg. We could go through the state of Virginia. We could go through the entire USA. In fact, we could go throughout the whole world and fingerprint everybody. And guess what? Not one single fingerprint is going to be like yours. Y'all know that? That's how they identify people, by their fingerprints. Do you know that your soul is just as unique as your fingerprint? When God breathed your soul into you, when you became a living soul, you are that unique person that God created, unlike anyone else in the universe. That's kind of cool, isn't it? That you are unique. And when God sees you, He sees someone unique. We're not just a bunch of cattle down here on earth, moving and going around and feeding and doing stuff. He doesn't. We're not that way. I know he calls us sheep, but he doesn't treat us like sheep or look at us like sheep where they just, man, just follow each other along. No, we're unique. We are individuals. And we each one have a purpose in this life. You are unique. Your soul that he breathed into you is unique. So what do we understand about the soul? It's our mind, will, and emotions, right? So guess what? I'm not going to react emotionally the same way you do to something. Sometimes do we expect that? I mean, we expect people to react a certain way. And when they don't, we get our feathers all fluffed up. Guess what? We're all unique. We all respond to different things differently. And that's okay because God created us all differently. So how do we prosper our soul? Going back to what he said, we're empowered. Being blessed is empowered to prosper. And we've been talking about our soul, the soulish realm. How do we prosper our soul? How do we prosper our mind, will, and emotions to help us here in this earth? Our spirit man, whoo, we're good, right? If you're born again, if you believe in Jesus, your spirit man is settled. It's settled. But we're living in this earth and we have a soul. Our mind, will, and emotions. How do we prosper in that area of our life? How do we prosper in the area of our body, our physical health? You know, you could look at it this way. Your soul, mind, will, and emotions is your mental health. And your body is your physical health. So how do we prosper in those areas? Well, we shared last week out of 1 Peter 1, verse 22. It says, we purify our soul by obeying the truth. Which we've already said is the Word, is Jesus. He's the way, the truth, the life. Obeying the truth through the Spirit. Well, guess what? When we purify our soul by obeying the truth through the Spirit, our body gets in line. It gets in line. Turn to 3 John. Not the Gospel of John, but 3 John. Third John chapter 1. It's all the way near the back of your Bible. Third John chapter 1, verse starting in verse 1 says, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers, or prospereth, if you're reading the King James. Verse 3, for I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. So how do we prosper our soul? Our mind, will, and emotions. By walking in the truth, by obeying the truth. And when our soul prospers, we just read it, says we are in good health. When our soul prospers, when our mind, will, and emotions are prospering, our body prospers along with that. Your mind, your thoughts, what you give your attention to can affect your health. Your will, are you selfish or selfless? It can affect your health. Your emotions, are you an emotional basket case being tossed to and fro, riding the swell one moment and down in the trough the next, riding every wave of emotion that comes your way? The constant roller coaster can affect your health. It can affect your health. That's why the Word says, and if you remember when Reggie shared, laughter, it does the body good, like good medicine. What does laughter do? It's prospering your soul, and then your body is in good health. Amen? In fact, I'm going to share several versions of that scripture. It's in Proverbs 17:22. It says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. The Good News Translation says it this way: being cheerful keeps you healthy. It is slow death to be gloomy all the time. The Message reads this way: a cheerful disposition is good for your health. Gloom and doom leave you bone tired. You ever been bone tired? You heard that saying? I'm just bone tired. They don't say it much anymore. I'm just bone tired. The Young's Literal Translation says, "A rejoicing heart doeth good to the body. A rejoicing heart doeth good to the body, and a smitten spirit drieth the bone." And then the Easy Reader Version, I like this one: "Happiness is good medicine, but sorrow is a disease." Wow. That's how you prosper your soul and body. You obey the truth. You do the word. Your mind, will, and emotions prosper. And then your body falls in line. When your soul prospers, then you're in good health and your body prospers. Amen? Bottom line: your emotions, which are part of your soul, affect your health. And you prosper your soul by obeying and walking in the truth. And the truth is, here's the truth. You ready for the truth? It'll set you free. Are you ready for it? Are you putting your faith out for what the truth is? The truth is, you're a born-again, spirit-filled, water-walking, tongue-talking, blessed and highly favored child of God, and there is nothing that He is withholding from you. I thought y'all be dancing around the sanctuary. You're dancing in your heart, ain't you? Born again, spirit-filled, water-walking, tongue-talking, blessed and highly favored child of God, and there is nothing, nothing that He is withholding from you. He doesn't withhold things from you. It's God who empowers us. He authorizes us to gain knowledge, confidence, means, and ability to make decisions that will bring us prosperity. And I'm talking prosperity in all areas of our life. I shared out of Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. It says, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day." Let me read that out of the Good News Translation. "Remember that it is the Lord your God who gives you the power to become rich. He does this because He is still faithful today to the covenant that He made with your ancestors." What is He talking about there? He made a covenant with Abraham. Now, I can't lay the whole foundation. We are the children of Abraham. Amen? We are spiritual children of Abraham. We are spiritual Zion, okay? We don't have the bloodline of Israel or the Jewish people in us, unless you're Jewish here today. But we are spiritual children of Abraham. So the very same blessing that He conferred upon Abraham is available to us and is conferred on us. Amen? He blessed. We call it the blessing of Abraham. Well, let's go back to our definition that Brother Savelle gave us. The blessing of Abraham, the empowerment to prosper. in every area of our life. You are empowered. Listen, God has done everything He's going to do. He's given it all to us. All the tools, all the resources necessary are available to us. But how many know it's kind of hard to build a house unless you pick up that hammer, unless you get that nail, unless you take that saw and cut it to the right length. The tools and materials may be all laid out, but unless you do something with them, that house ain't going to get built. God has given us all the tools and resources that we have need of to prosper in our life, but unless we put them to good use, it ain't going to happen. So let's not sit around and moan and moan and cry and when we have everything we have need of, but you have to do something with it. And that's what I want to encourage you in today. Do something with what is already yours. By covenant right. You have a covenant right to these things that God sent His Son to die for. And I can only imagine when we don't apply these things to our life, I don't know that it saddens him. I can't imagine him being, I don't know, maybe I have to find scripture for that, but maybe there is, maybe y'all can help me with that. But I know he's joyful when he sees his children applying these things to their life and then prospering in every area of their life. He's given it all to us. His Son went to the cross and died and shed his blood for us. And all we got to do is walk in it. Walk in the truth. Obey the truth. Amen? Talking about the blessing of Abraham and that last part of that verse 18 says, he does this because he is still faithful today to the covenant that he made with your ancestors. Turn to Genesis chapter 26. Genesis 26. verse 12. Starting in verse 12, I'm going to read down to 14. It says, then Isaac sowed seed. Remember we talked about an example? Seed time and harvest, right? Seed time and harvest. Then Isaac sowed seed in that land and received in the same year. In the same year. He received in the same year 100 times as much as he planted. And the Lord favored him with blessings. And the man became great and gained more and more until he became very wealthy and distinguished. He owned flocks, herds, and a great supply of servants. And the Philistines envied him. The Lord empowered Isaac to prosper after he did what? Come on. Sowed seed. Seed time and harvest. The Lord empowered him to prosper after he sowed seed. That is our part. We have to sow the seed of the word in faith. How many know the parable 30, 60, 100 fold? Right? What is that talking about there? That's talking about sowing the seed of the word and receiving a 30, 60, 100 fold increase from the word in your life. So when you get revelation, when you hear the word and you do the word, you obey it, you walk in it, that's where the increase comes. Amen? This is what he's talking about the ancestors, how he was faithful to the covenant that he made with them. Isaac got the full 100 times return on his seed in the same year. And he did so because he is faithful to the covenant he made with Abraham. And guess what? We're Abraham's offspring. Abraham is our ancestor. So we have covenant rights to the same thing. As we sow seeds, we can expect a harvest from those seeds. And I'm not just talking financial, I'm talking spirit, soul, and body seeds. So when you sow seeds to your spirit, soul, and body, you can expect an increase in those areas. Amen? When you sow the seed of the Word to your spirit, soul, and body, you can expect that hundredfold return on those seeds sown. Right? Is this making any sense? Wow. You all be glad to know that I am at the end of my notes. It's not about the time that we spend. Right? It's about the quality of that time. And if you just receive one word from what the Holy Spirit was sharing today, I believe it'll cause you to prosper in that area of your life. Amen? So don't allow the enemy to steal the word that has been sown this morning. Because that's the first thing he wants to do. He wants to go and steal that word from you. Don't allow distractions that are happening around you in your life steal the word from you. Don't allow the cares of this world to choke the word from you. Don't allow it. We say, you know, that's a famous saying, take it to heart, take it to heart, take it to heart. Take the seed of the word and plant it in your heart. Meditate on it. Mutter it. Repeat it. Talk about it. Even if you got to talk to yourself about it. But I find that it's encouraging and it helps to talk to other people about it. When you're going home today, talk to your passenger, whether it's your spouse, your kids, a friend. Talk about the things of God, the things that He's revealing to you. You can't tell me that you can sit in here and He not reveal some things to you. If you come expecting, if you actually have ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, He is revealing some things to you. And when you share those things with someone, it creates accountability within yourself. Two, it probably encourages that individual and in turn encourages you. Right? Listen, God's done it. He has provided everything that we have need of to prosper in every area of our life. But we have to take a stand. We have to do something with those things. He's not your genie in a bottle. He's not your genie in a bottle. We have to apply our faith for these things. Amen?